Hey everyone, it's Storytime with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to continue reading some more of The Faraway Tree, The Enchanted Wood by Enid Blyton. And we're up to chapter 25, The Punishment of the Red Goblins. "It's certainly time we dealt with these red goblins," said Mr. Whiskers, the chief brownie, wiping his long beard with a yellow handkerchief. He had dropped plum juice all down it. And just at that moment, there came a great surprise. A deep voice behind them said,
"Oh, here's a nice little company. What about coming back with me into Wizardland and doing a few jobs?"
Everyone turned in dismay. They saw a curious figure above them, leaning down from a big branch. It was a wizard, whose green eyes blinked lazily like a cat's. "It's Mighty One, the wizard," said Moonface, and he got up to bow, for Mighty One was as mighty as his name. Everyone did the same.
"Who is he?" whispered Fanny. "He's the most powerful wizard in the whole world," whispered back Silky. "He's come down the ladder, so that means that the land of red goblins has gone and the land of the wizards has come. They are always on the lookout for servants, and I suppose Mighty One has come down to look for some."
"Well, I'm not going to be a servant to a wizard," said Fanny.
"You won't be," said Silky. "He's not a bad fellow. He won't take anyone who doesn't want to go. It's good training for a fairy who wants to learn magic."
Mighty One blinked his eyes slowly and looked at the little crowd on the branches before him.
"I need about 100 servants to take back with me," he said. "Who will come?"
Nobody said a word. Moonface got up and bowed again.
"Your Highness," he said,
"we none of us want to leave the Enchanted Wood, where we are very happy. You may perhaps find others who would like to go back with you. We beg you not to take any of us."
"Well," said the wizard, sliding his green eyes from one person to another, "I haven't much time. My lamb will swing away from the faraway tree in about an hour. Can you get me the servants I want? If you can, I will not take you."
Everybody looked worried, but Joe jumped up with a beaming face.
"Your Highness, would red goblins do for your servants?"
"Excellently," said Mighty One. "They are quick and obedient, but goblins would never agree to coming with me. They belong to their own land."
Moonface, What's-His-Name, and the Saucepan Man all began to talk at once. Mighty One lifted up his hand and they stopped.
"One at a time," said the wizard.
So Moonface spoke.
"Sir," he said, "we have about 100 goblins boxed up in the middle of this tree. They tried to take us prisoner. It would be a very good punishment for them if we gave them to you to take away to your land as servants."
Mighty One looked astonished.
100 goblins," he said. "That is very strange. Explain."
So Moonface explained. Mighty One was most interested to hear of the fight.
"We'll all go down to the bottom of the tree and let the goblins out one by one," said Joe excited. "Come on. What a shock for them when they see the wizard."
So they all trooped down the tree in the bright rays of the rising sun. Really, it was all most exciting. They came to the trapdoor at the foot of the tree. Behind it, they could hear a lot of shouting and quarrelling and pushing.
"Don't push! You're squashing me!"
Moonface unbolted the trapdoor and opened it. Out shot a red goblin and fell on a green cushion of moss. He picked himself up, blinked in the bright sunlight, and then turned to run, but Mighty One tapped him with his wand and he stood still.
He couldn't move.
He looked scared when he saw the wizard. One by one, the red goblins tumbled out of the trapdoor and were trapped by the wizard.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
They came shooting out of the trapdoor, surprised and frightened, sliding gradually down the slippery slip as one after another slid from the trapdoor. Fanny giggled. It was a funny sight to see.
"It's very good punishment for those bad goblins," she said to Silky. "They came down the ladder to trap you, and now someone else has trapped them and has taken them back to his land."
The red goblin stood in a sulky row, quite unable to run away.
"Quick, march," said the wizard when the last one had slid out of the trapdoor, and up the tree went the sulky goblins. It was no use trying to escape. The wizard had put a spell into their legs, and they had to go up to the top of the tree through the big white cloud and into wizard land. "A jolly good riddance of bad rubbish," said Joe. "My word, what an exciting night we've had. I did enjoy it." "Isn't it cold?" said the saucepan man, shivering. "Cold?" cried Bessie and Fanny, who were feeling hot in the morning sun. "Why, it's as warm as can be."
"It's because he hasn't got his kettles and saucepans hung around him as usual," said What's-His-Name. "I expect they feel like a coat to him. Poor old saucepan."
"I don't like the look of him without his saucepans," said Fanny. "It doesn't look right. Can't we collect them for him? They're on the ground and all about the tree." So they began to collect the saucepan's belongings. He was very pleased. They hung his kettles on him and put his saucepans all round him, with his special one for a hat. Some of them were dented and bent, but he didn't mind a bit.
"There," said Fanny, pleased. "You look like yourself now. You looked horrid without all your saucepans on. Like a snail without its shell."
"I never had a bell," said the saucepan man.
"Shell, I said," said Fanny.
"Smell?" said the saucepan man, looking round. "I can't smell anything at the moment. What's all the smell? Nice or nasty?"
"Shell, not smell," said Fanny patiently.
"Oh, shell! What shell?" said the saucepan man.
But Fanny had forgotten what she had said, and she shook her head and laughed.
"Never mind," she shouted.
"We really must go," said Joe. "Mother will be up and wondering whatever has happened to us.
Oh, dear. I do feel sleepy.
Come on, girls." They said goodbye to all the tree dwellers and set off through the enchanted wood. Silky went back to her house in the tree, wondering what had happened to her clock, which hadn't joined in the fight at all. It had been fast asleep. Moonface went back to the tree, yawning. What's-His-Name and the saucepan man climbed back, so tired that they fell fast asleep before they reached their hole and had to be put safely in the corner of a broad branch by the angry pixie in case they fell down. Dame Washalot went back, making up her mind to do no washing that day. Soon there was peace in the tree, and only the snores of What's-His-Name could be heard. Far away up the tree in the land of the wizards, the red goblins were working hard.
Ah, they'd got a good punishment, hadn't they?
They wouldn't be in such a hurry to catch other people in future. The three children got home, and their mother stared at them in surprise.
"You are up early this morning," she said. "I thought you were still in bed and asleep. Fancy getting up and going out for a walk before breakfast like that."
How sleepy the children were that day. And dear me, didn't they go to bed early that night. "No more wandering through the enchanted wood and up the faraway tree for me tonight," said Joe as he got into bed. "I vote we don't go there for a long time. It's getting just a bit too exciting." But it wasn't long before they went again, as you'll see. Chapter 26. A Plan for Bessie's Birthday. A week later, it was Bessie's birthday. She was very excited because Mother said she might have a little party.
"We'll ask all our friends in the faraway tree," she said.
"Do you think we'd better?" said Joe doubtfully. "I don't think Mother would like Dame Washalot, or Mr. Whiskers, or the Angry Pixie."
"Well, we can't very well ask some and not others," said Bessie. "The ones we left out would be very hurt indeed."
"It's awkward," said Fanny. "We'd better go and tell Moonface and Silky and ask them what to do." But Mother wouldn't let the girls go off with Joe that day. She said there was a lot of ironing to do and they must help.
"Oh, bother," said Fanny to Joe. "You'll have to go alone, Joe, and ask Moonface and Silky what we ought to do about our party. Don't be too long or we'll be worried about you. And please don't go climbing up into any strange land without us."
"Don't worry," said Joe. "I'm not going to visit any more lands at the top of the faraway tree. I've had enough adventures to last me for the rest of my life." He set off. He ran through the enchanted wood and came to the faraway tree.
It was a hot afternoon, and not many little folk were about. It seemed almost too hot to climb the tree. Joe whistled. The little red squirrel popped down from the tree and looked at him. "Leap up to the top of the tree and ask old Moonface if he'll drop me down a rope with a cushion on the end and haul me up, squirrel," said Joe. The squirrel bounded lightly up the tree. Soon, a rope with a cushion tied to it came slipping down the tree. Joe caught hold of it. He sat astride on the cushion and tugged the rope. It began to go up the tree, bumping into branches as it went. It was a funny ride, but Joe enjoyed it. He waved to the angry pixie who was sitting outside his house. He stared at Joe in surprise and then grinned when he saw who it was. The owls were all asleep in their homes. Mr. What's-his-name was awake for once and fell out of his chair in alarm when he suddenly saw Joe swinging up through the air, bumping into boughs. When he saw it was Joe, he was so pleased that he fell off his branch onto the saucepan man who was snoozing in the chair just below. "Ouch!" said the saucepan man, startled. "What's the matter? What are you jumping on me for?"
"I'm not," said What's-his-name. "Look, there's Joe."
"Go? I don't want to go," said the saucepan man, settling down again. "Don't be so restless."
"I said there's Joe," roared What's-his-name.
"Where?" said the saucepan man in surprise, looking all around. But by that time, of course, Joe was far away up the tree, laughing over funny What's-his-name and dear old saucepan. What's-his-name climbed back to his chair and shut his eyes. Soon his snores reached Joe, who was far above, hoping that Silky would see him and go up to Moonface's to talk to him. He forgot to look out for Dame Washalot's water, but it missed him nicely, splashing down heavily onto poor old What's-his-name, making him dream that he was falling out of a boat into the sea. Silky did see him and waved. She climbed the tree quickly to go up to Moonface's. By the time she got there, Joe had just arrived and was getting off the cushion. "Hello," said Moonface and Silky, pleased to see him. "Where are Bessie and Fanny?" Joe told them. He told them about Bessie's birthday too, and her difficulty about how many people she should ask. "We'd like everyone," said Joe, "but Mother wouldn't like some of them, we are sure. What shall we do?" I know," said Silky, clapping her hands suddenly. "Next week, the land of birthdays comes to the top of the faraway tree, and anyone who has a birthday can go there and give the most wonderful party to all their friends. Oh, it would be lovely. Last time the birthday land came, nobody had a birthday, so we couldn't go. But this time we can, because Bessie could ask us all."
"Sounds good," said Joe. "But I didn't really want to go into any strange land again, you know. We always seem to get mixed up in queer adventures. So far, we've always escaped all right, but we might not another time."
"Oh, no harm can come to you in the land of birthdays," said Moonface at once. "It's a wonderful land. You really must come. It's a chance you mustn't miss."
"All right," said Joe, beginning to feel excited. "I'll tell the girls when I go back."
"And we'll tell everyone in the tree, and Mr. Whiskers, and his brownies too," said Silky. "Bessie would like everyone to go, wouldn't she?"
"Oh, yes," said Joe.
"What happens, though? I mean, do we have to arrange about tea or anything? And what about a birthday cake? Fanny was going to make one for Bessie."
"Tell her not to," said Silky. "She'll find everything she wants up in the birthday land."
"My word, we are lucky. Fancy someone really having a birthday just as the birthday land comes along."
"Bessie's birthday is on Wednesday," said Joe, "so we'll go up the tree then. I'd better go back and tell the girls now. I said it wouldn't be long."
"Have a toffee shock," said Moonface.
"No, thank you," said Joe. "I'd rather have a pop biscuit."
So they sat and munched the lovely pop biscuits and talked about the exciting time they'd had with the red goblins.
"Now I really must go," said Joe, and he got up. He chose a red cushion, said goodbye to Silky and Moonface, and shot off down the slippery slip. Joe thought he really could do that all day. It was such a lovely feeling. He flew out of the trapdoor at the bottom and landed on the moss. He got up and ran off home. The girls were pleased to see him back so soon. When they heard about the birthday land, they were tremendously excited.
"Oh," said Bessie, going red with joy. "I
am lucky. I wonder what will happen. Do you suppose there'll be a cake for me?
Rather, said Joe, and lots of other things too, I expect.
We shall have to tell Mother, said Fanny. I wonder if she'll let us go.
Mother didn't seem to mind.
I expect it's just some sort of birthday joke your friends in the wood are playing on you, she said. Yes, you can go, if you like. Our cottage is really too small for a very large party.
I shall wear my best dress, said Bessie happily. The one Mother got me last week with the blue sash.
But Mother wouldn't let her.
No, she said firmly. You'll all go in your old clothes. I remember quite well what you looked like when you went off to tea with that funny friend of yours, the old saucepan man. I certainly shall not allow any of you to wear nice things next Wednesday.
Bessie was nearly in tears.
But Mother, I can't go to my own birthday party in old clothes, she said.
But it was no good. Mother said they could wear old clothes or else not go. So there was no help for it.
I don't know what everyone will think of us going to the birthday land in our oldest things, said Joe gloomily. I've got a good mind not to go.
But when Wednesday afternoon came, they all thought differently. Old clothes or not, they meant to go.
Come on, said Joe. It's time we went to the land of birthdays.
Chapter 27. The Land of Birthdays. The children set off once again to the Enchanted Wood. They knew the way to the faraway tree very well by now.
Wisha, wisha, wisha,
whispered the trees as the children ran between them. Bessie put her arms around one and pressed her left ear to the trunk.
What secret are you saying today? She asked.
We wish you a happy birthday, whispered the leaves.
Bessie laughed. It was fun to have a birthday. When they came to the faraway tree, how marvellous it looked. The folk of the tree had decked it with flags because it was Bessie's birthday, and it looked simply lovely.
Ooh, said Bessie pleased. I do feel happy. The only thing I wish is that I had proper party clothes on, not my old ones.
But that couldn't be helped. They were just about to begin to climb the tree when Dame Washalot's big washing basket came bumping down on the end of Moonface's rope for the children to get into.
Good, said Joe. Get in, girls.
They all got in and went up the tree at a tremendous rate.
Moonface must have someone helping him to pull, said Joe, astonished.
He had. Mr. Whiskers was there with What's-His-Name and the old saucepan man, and they were all pulling like anything. No wonder that basket shot up the tree.
Many happy returns of the day, said everyone, kissing Bessie.
Oh, good. You're not in your best clothes, said Moonface. We wondered if you'd make it a fancy dress party, Bessie.
Oh, I'd love to, said Bessie, but we haven't got any fancy dresses.
Now, just so you know, when they mean fancy dresses in this book, they actually mean costumes, just so you know.
We can easily get those in the birthday land, said Silky, clapping her hands for joy.
Good, good, good. I do like a fancy dress party.
Everybody is ready to go, said Moonface.
The brownies are just below us.
Where's Saucepan?
Hi, Saucepan. Where have you got to?
He stepped into your slippery slip by mistake, said the brownie, appearing out of Moonface's house. He went down the slide with an awful noise. I expect he's at the bottom by now.
Good gracious. Just like silly old Saucepan, said Moonface.
We'd better let down the washing basket for him. He'll never get up to us.
So down went the basket again, and old Saucepan got into it and came up with a clatter of saucepans and kettles.
Now are we really all ready? Said Moonface.
Silky, What's-His-Name, Saucepan, Angry Pixie, Dame Washalot, Mr. Whiskers, the brownies.
Gracious, what a lovely lot of people are coming, said Bessie, seeing all the brownies and tree folk on the branches below.
Is that Mother Washalot? What a nice old woman.
Dame Washalot was fat and beaming. For once in a way, she was going to leave her wash tub. Going to the land of birthdays was not a treat to be missed.
Come on then, said Moonface, and he led the way to the ladder. Up he went, popped his head above to make quite sure that the land of birthdays was there, and then jumped straight into it. Everyone climbed up.
That's all, I think, said Moonface, peering down. Oh no, there's someone else. Whoever is it? I thought we were all here.
Gracious, it's my clock, said Silky. The one I got in the land of Take What You Want.
Sure enough, it was.
Ding dong, ding dong,
it cried indignantly as it climbed up on its flat feet.
All right, all right. We'll wait for you, said Silky. Go carefully up the ladder. You weren't really asked, you know.
I'd love your clock to come to my party, said Bessie at once. Come along, clock.
Ding dong,
said the clock, pleased, and managed to get up the ladder. The land of birthdays was simply beautiful. To begin with, there was always birthday weather there. Brilliant sunshine, blue sky, and a nice little breeze. The trees were always green, and there were always daisies and buttercups growing in the fields.
Oh, it's lovely! It's lovely! Cried Bessie, dancing round joyfully. Moonface, what about fancy dresses? Where do we get them?
Oh, you'll find them in that house over there, said Moonface, pointing to a very pretty house. They all trooped over to it. As they went, small brown rabbits hopped out of the holes, called a happy birthday to Bessie, and popped back. It was all very exciting. Everyone crowded into the pretty house. It was full of cupboards, and in the cupboards were the most thrilling dresses you can think of.
Oh, look at this, cried Joe in delight as he came across a red Indian's dress with a wonderful headdress of bright feathers.
Just the right size for me. He put it on. Bessie chose a dress like a fairy's, and Fanny chose a clown's dress with a pointed hat. She looked fine. Moonface dressed up as a pirate, and Silky became a daffodil. What's-his-name was a policeman, and as for the old saucepan man, he simply could not find a fancy dress to fit him because he was so bumpy with kettles and saucepans. Everyone else dressed up, and dear me, they did look fine. Bessie had wings with her dress, but she was disappointed because she couldn't fly with them. How she would have loved to spread them and fly as the real fairies did.
Now for balloons, said Silky,
and she danced into the sunshine and ran to an old balloon woman who was sitting surrounded by a great cloud of coloured balloons. Everybody chose one, and what games they had! Suddenly, a tea bell rang, and Moonface gave a scream of joy.
Tea! Birthday tea! Come on, everyone!
He rushed to a long, long table set out in the field. Bessie ran with the others and took her place at the head, but to her great surprise and disappointment, there was no food on the table at all, only just empty plates, cups, and glasses.
Don't look so upset, whispered Silky. You've got to wish your own tea.
Bessie gave a squeak.
Wish your own tea? Ooh, that would be the best fun in the world.
Don't wish for bread and butter, called Moonface.
Wish for orange jelly. I like that.
I wish for orange jelly, said Bessie at once, and immediately a large, fat, wobbly orange jelly appeared on one of the empty dishes. Moonface helped himself.
Wish for strawberries and cream, cried Fanny, who simply loved those.
I wish for strawberries and cream, said Bessie, and an enormous dish of strawberries appeared with a large jug of cream beside it.
And I wish for chocolate biscuits, too. And ice lemonade. And chocolate blancmange.
Hopefully that's how you pronounce it. And treacle pudding. And strawberry ices. And...
Fruit salad, yelled someone.
Sausage rolls, said What's-His-Name.
Jam tarts, begged Mr. Whiskers.
Ding dong,
said Silky's clock in the greatest excitement. Everyone laughed.
Don't wish for ding-dongs, said Joe. I've got plenty of those as long as Silky's clock is here.
The clock struck 14 without stopping. It wandered about, looking as happy as could be. Everyone began to eat. My goodness, it was a wonderful tea. The strawberries and cream and the ices went almost at once, for Mr. Whiskers and 50 Brownies liked those very much. So Bessie had to wish for some more.
What about my birthday cake, she asked Silky. Do I wish for that too? No, It just comes, said Silky. It will appear right in the middle of the table. You just watch.
Bessie watched.
There was a wonderful silver dish in the middle of the table. Something seemed to be forming there. A curious sort of mist hung over it.
The birthday cake is coming, shouted Joe, and everyone watched the silver dish.
Gradually, a great cake shaped itself there.
Oh, a wonderful cake with red, pink, white, and yellow icing. All around the side were flowers made of sweets. On the top were 8 candles burning, for Bessie was 8 that day. Her name was written in big sugar letters on the top.
Bessie, a very happy birthday. Bessie felt very proud. She had to cut the cake, of course. It was quite a difficult job, for there were so many people to cut it for.
This is a wishing cake, said Moonface, when everyone had a piece on their plate. So wish, wish, wish when you eat it, and your wish will come true.
The children stared at him in delight.
What should they wish?
Fanny was just holding her cake in her hand, thinking of a wish, when the old saucepan man upset everything.
Whatever do you think he did?
Hey, well, that's the end of that for today. I hope you enjoyed the story. Look out for more of this very soon. All right, take care, everyone. Bye for now.